All right, good morning, everybody. All right, looks like you're awake, ready to go. How many of you are proud to be an American?
Amen. Amen.
All right. You know, God has blessed this country, I believe, more than any other country. And why do you think that is? Why do you think God has so blessed this nation? Faith in Him. The foundation. If you look, there's so many quotes I could have pulled from our founding fathers, but I wanted to bring this one to you this morning by Abraham Lincoln. It says, "And whereas it is the duty of nations as well of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God and to recognize the sublime truth that those nations are only blessed whose God is the Lord." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of this country. Father, we thank you for the foundation that has been set. We have strayed far from it as a nation. Father, we pray that you'd bring our nation back to God, that you would start in our own lives, that you'd start in our homes, that this morning that we would worship the one true God, and we'd learn to worship him in spirit and in truth. Father, just fill me with your words. Give me a boldness and a clarity. God, help me to say no more than you'd have me to say. In your name we pray. Amen. How many of you have ever been to a boring worship service? Okay. Oh, I probably shouldn't have said that. Raise your hands there, but let me put it this way. Got to be careful how you answer this one, okay? Of course, that's when you're maybe visiting another church. That's what you're talking about. Let me tell you this morning that you have never been to a boring worship service. Now, you may have been to a boring church service, but if you have been worshiping God, that is one of the most thrilling, exciting, fulfilling, and meaningful things that could possibly happen to you. To learn to worship God in spirit and in truth will turn the monotonous into the momentous. What we're talking about here this morning is not merely an addition to your spiritual checklist. The ultimate priority and highest good is to worship God in spirit and in truth. If you would turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. In this passage of Scripture here, we see Christ in the divine meeting. We see that God in Christ, Christ being God, still took on humanity. He was all man, and he was all God at the same time. We see here in this passage that Christ thirsted. He had a literal human thirst that he needed some water to quench that thirst, and he has this need. And as he has this need, he addresses a woman who has a greater need. And we see in this passage that her need supersedes his need for water. As thirsty as he is, now, before he even gets a drink of water, he addresses her spiritual needs. And we're going to see in this passage, I believe, Christ himself defining what true worship is. Now, as he approaches this woman, he recognizes immediately that she is bound by sin, that she is blinded by Satan, she's broken by sorrow. Now, the Samaritans along, they're the outcasts. They were considered to be less than human by the Jews. They were outcasts of society. They could not go to Jerusalem to worship. So they worshiped in the high place. Now Christ, as he's speaking to her, we see, I'm going to just skip to verse 20, where she wants to argue immediately with Christ as he displays her spiritual needs. She says, "Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and ye say," speaking to him as a Jew, "that Jerusalem is the place where ought men to worship." Now, she's immediately arguing denominationalism with him. So often we have an opportunity to go out. Pastor Brandon and I go out on Thursday mornings. We try to go out early in the morning if possible to beat the heat. But we're going there and trying to share Christ with people. We're knocking on doors, and we have opportunities to run into people. And so often, we start out with an introduction of, okay, hey, we're from Grace down the road. And we'd like to invite you out to church. And do you attend church anywhere here in the area? And you notice I didn't put Baptist in there. It's not because I'm ashamed of being a Baptist. But so often, as soon as I hear Baptist or whatever, they want to start arguing denominations. Well, I'm a Methodist. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a Catholic. And then we can get into argument outside of what we're trying to get out there is the true gospel. Now, we'd love to see them, first of all, become a member of God's family. And then we can talk about denominations. And then we can talk about why we believe what we believe. But first, they need Christ. That's where the argument needs to be. And Christ also recognizes this. He said, hey, let's hold on. Let's go back here a minute. Let me start out with who you're worshiping. And he said, in Mark 7, verse 6, it says, he answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, the people honored me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, there was a Baptist trying to argue a Methodist into becoming a Baptist. And in this argument, the Baptist asked the Methodist, now, why are you a Methodist in the first place? And it's always good to ask questions, you know, introducing this. And then he says, well, my grandfather was a Methodist. My father was a Methodist. So I'm a Methodist. So then the Baptist proceeds to use some good logic in here. He says, well, let's say this. What if your father was a fool and your grandfather was a fool? What would that make you? The Methodist thought a while about it. And then he answered, well, I guess that would make me a Baptist. You see, we can get into all kinds of arguments over denominations, but Christ right here gets to the heart of the matter. Read verse 24. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, understanding that there's two different types of religions that, or denominations, per se, that she was trying to argue here. Now, the Samaritans, they were very enthusiastic, but that way, charismatic about their worship and what they're doing. And there they went up to that high place to worship. It was seen and is written that they had a very exciting worship service there, or worship leaders and probably a praise band and all that came along with that. They only believed in the Pentateuch. The rest of the scripture was excluded. And we see that in that form that they had the Spirit. They had the Spirit. They had that excitement. But what they had was uninformed zeal. They didn't have the full truth, the full counsel of God. Then we see on the other end, truth. This is what the Jews specialized in. You know, they had the law. They knew the law. And they not only had the whole law at that time, but they added to it to make it even better, right? So let's put laws upon laws. And they were very strict in their religion and their practices. And they were very proud of that. So one omitted scripture, one added to scripture. One is full of life without knowledge. One is lifeless and dead in its orthodoxy and religion. So which is the right one? This is the one she wants to answer. Which is the right one today? We see this in our worship today. So often we have opportunities to talk to people and they say, man, and I don't know how many of you have been in some other churches, that, man, it seems like a dead service, you know, and someone gets up and starts speaking in Latin. I don't know what he's saying. And then everything's it's like a dirge. We don't want to get out of control here. We want to keep everything under control. And then on the other end, there are people are rolling in the aisles, okay, and saying that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Which is the right one? Let's see what Christ has to say here about worship. First of all, he says, we must worship the right person. Who are we to worship? And we see this in verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. So he said, basically what we know, idolatry is worshiping the wrong God. There is one God, and he is the Father of all. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6, we see, but to us there is but one God, the Father, who are all things, in whom we are, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. So Jesus called God the Father more than 70 times in the Gospels. So we don't have to understand all there is to know about God the Father in order to love Him and to worship Him. So not only must we worship the right person, but we must worship in the right place. So where is the right place to worship? Grace Baptist Church, of course, right? You are in the right place this morning. Okay, now there are some that say some things that we'd never do in the house of God. Even someone would say, I'm not necessarily a believer. You know, people aren't going to come in here and do certain things. They feel, this isn't right. This is a holy place. This is a sanctuary. And this is a sacred pulpit. And we talk about, you know, this is a nice building. It's a beautiful building that God has provided. And it is purchased with a great cost. Many people have sacrificed to purchase it. It's wonderful to have a beautiful place to worship and to worship God. But what else do we see that is sanctified, that is set apart, that is purchased with a great price? You and I. God does not dwell in temples made with hands. Acts 7, verse 48 says, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Acts 17, verse 24 says, God that made the world and the things therein, seeing that He is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. As Christians, every place and every day is sacred. Every place and every day is sacred. Once we're saved, we become a sanctuary. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So we have a responsibility not to defile our bodies, because as children of God, our bodies have become a temple of God. Because Jesus sacrificed His life on the cross, we now have a privilege to worship Him anytime and anywhere. We see that as Christ's body was broken and His blood was shed, we see at that time the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. And now that we have open worship with Him, we are known as a priesthood of the believers. We see in Hebrews that we are a priesthood of believers. You and I have the option as sons of God, for those who have received Jesus Christ into their hearts, to come to Him at any time, in any place. Aren't you glad that you don't have to come and sit in these pews to pray and talk to God? Or go through some other man? Amen. You can go to God at any time, and He will hear you. Amen. We have a great privilege in doing this. We are the body of Christ. We must reverence Him. We must recognize this, and we must live lives accordingly. So not only must we worship the right person in the right place, but we must worship at the right time. I'd say period here just to keep it alliterated, but time does sound better. The hour cometh and now is. You look at verse 23, it says, the hour cometh and now is. So what's the right time to worship? Okay? Evidently, some of you guys know what the right time to worship is because you're here. Sunday morning at 11 a.m., this is when our worship service here begins. Sunday evening, please come back at 6:30. We have our other service. And don't forget Sunday school at 10 a.m. if you can make it out to that. Our midweek service is at 7 p.m. This is an advertisement for all our services here. Of course, if you're not too busy. These are our times of worship set aside to honor God. Now, I hope that you all would be at these times of corporate worship. But if that is all of your worship, then you're missing the point of this passage. We don't have to be in church to worship. Okay. Now, don't shut me out after you hear this, okay? We're going to explain this further. You don't have to be in church to worship. So, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So, what does that include? It includes reading our Bible and praying. That brings glory to God. That honors God. That includes serving as a deacon, serving in the nursery, ushering, working in children's church, ministering to other needs, in actions and conversations in the workplace, in our recreation, in our veg time, in what we watch, what we listen to in our cars. This is our worship to God. Think about that. Okay, you have a testimony to uphold to those around you. Well, you might say, well, I make sure that no one's watching me. I am all alone. And I know you've heard this before. What they don't know can't hurt them, right? Christian, we must remember that we are never alone. You don't do anything alone. This should be the greatest encouragement to us as believers, but only if we're walking with God. Jesus knew everything about the Samaritan woman. Why do we think that there's things that we can hide from God? Why do we think that God doesn't know everything about us? I believe as believers we know this, but do we truly live this way? God's busy probably dealing with someone else right now. And there's other people that are doing worse things. And he's busy with that. But God is with us at all times. He knows everything about us. Again, we don't have to be in church to worship. We must worship the right person in the right place in the right period. Now, I'm not saying that you might as well stay at home. Okay? So some of you are like, man, why am I here? If I can worship anytime, any place, anywhere, and God can hear me, then why am I here this morning? This leads me to my fourth point. We must worship with the right people. Why? We are, as believers, we are to worship as a local body of believers. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In the New Testament, to forsake the assembling of yourselves together was a mark that that individual wasn't even saved. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that anyone who stops going to this church is no longer saved, or stops going to church is no longer saved. But it is a mark of someone who is not a true believer. 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Why do we come to corporate worship? To show that God is important to us, and to show that people are important to us. The significance of corporate worship is not primarily to come to worship, but to bring our worship to church. I'm going to read that again. I want you to think about this. The significance of our corporate worship is not primarily to come to worship, but to bring our worship to church. Because, once again, everything we do, everywhere we go, we should be worshiping God. So we must worship the right person in the right place in the right period with the right people. We must worship with the right procedure. Now, I understand that some people at this point might be checked out. Say, that's a lot of P's. I can't keep up with that if I wanted to. There was one woman who said, I have never seen my pastor's eyes. When he prays, he closes his. When he preaches, he closes mine. Now, that's not the best way to show our worship, okay? That's not the best way to show that we've come with a spirit of worship, ready to go. Did we come this morning ready to worship? Is that you this morning? Do you come this morning ready to worship the one true God? Is that why you're here? Hopefully, once again, it's not something to check off our spiritual checklist. God, I've done that. I have satisfied God for this week. Now I can go on living my life for myself. Do we come this morning to worship, or do we find ourselves more concerned with getting out in time to beat the lunch rush? We must worship the Lord in spirit. We must worship the Lord in spirit. As we see there in verse 24, this is speaking of a zeal, an excitement. It's okay to say amen now and again. Okay, I'm not trying to elicit an amen right now, but it's okay if you want to put one in there throughout the service, all right? But we need to have a zeal and excitement about the truth of the Word of God. Not to worship, we're not only to worship God with our hands, our knees, and our eyes, and our mouth. But what comes from within, we serve God with our spirit. Romans 1 verse 9 says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. Psalm 103 verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We must not only worship God in spirit, but we must worship him in truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. Any man who stands behind this pulpit and presents to you accurately the word of God, as he presents to you truth, this should elicit some excitement and some zeal and some charisma. It's okay to be a little bit charismatic, as long as there's truth behind it, okay? There needs to be spirit, there needs to be truth. Psalm 145, verse 18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." Truth revealed should bring this excitement. As I mentioned here, truth, we see that the truth shall make you free, as Christ said. And truth, in this context, what he's speaking of is my word, the words of Christ, God's word. This should bring, as we are set free by the revealing of the truth, by God's word being presented, there should be an excitement there. So we must worship the right person in the right place in the right period with the right people, with the right procedure. And finally, we must worship for the right purpose. The right purpose. We see in verse 23, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." When we worship God for the right purpose, we're not worshiping him in order to get something out of it. That's not why we come to church. That's not why we come to church. Boy, I just didn't get anything out of the message this morning. I should have, basically saying, I guess I just should have stayed home. You know, if I'm not getting anything out of it, why come? Is that why we're here? Guys, if that's why we're here, that shouldn't be the reason we're here. Once again, remember, we're bringing our worship with us. If we're doing this for the right purpose, we will be blessed. But if we're doing it in order to get something out of it for ourselves, rather than we're saying that we want to worship God in order to bless him, we've gotten things backwards. We're to come here to bring him glory. Many times I've heard it said that well, I just didn't get anything out of it. And once again, if that's your purpose, you've gotten things backwards there. Well, say, I want to get a blessing. Guys, I'm not saying that you should come here and you shouldn't be blessed. As we study the truth, once again, remember, as the truth is revealed and God's word speaks to us in our hearts because we're open and ready for it, then we will be blessed. But remember, that's not the purpose. That's not the purpose. But if we have our priorities straight and putting him first, the blessing will come. You know, so often I think the part of the problem is we come to church with so many things that are just in our lives. There's so many problems that we're facing. We're focusing on all these trials and tribulations. And I just need something to give me a fix to get my mind off these things. And if I can't, if there's just not something that's just going to bless my soul to put all these things aside, then it's not working for me. Our cups are so full with those things, with problems. Our cups are so full with other distractions. Our minds are focused and thinking about other things. And we have no room for our cups to be filled with spiritual things. We have no room for the truth to fill our lives. Guys, we need to come ready for the truth to be poured in us, to change us, for that excitement to come from that. The more we know our God, the more we can glorify him, and that as we accomplish that purpose that brings true joy to our lives. I have the secret. I know where 'tis found. Two true pleasures only in Jesus abound. That's the secret. When we forget about ourselves and begin to worship him, we will see our blessings abound. May we be a people that stop trying to be blessed instead of letting our focus be on worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Is that your heart this morning? It's my prayer that as I come to worship, as we come to worship together corporately, that I am, as we sing these songs, as we listen to the choir, that our hearts will be stirred as God is exalted. And as that purpose is accomplished, there is never a dull worship service. That's our focus. When our focus is on him, once again, the things of this earth will grow dim, extremely dim. Focusing on him, worshiping him, exalting him. I hope that's why you came this morning. I hope that's why you leave this morning. I hope that's why you're going to come back this evening, to exalt him, to worship him. If you would at this time please bow your heads. and close your eyes. What does your worship look like? I hope you're not like the Samaritan, worshiping with uninformed zeal. I hope you're not like following the Jerusalem way with dead religion, just coming to check this off your list. But I hope you're following Christ's way. Are you worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth? Does your life evidence that you truly worship God? Can others see it? Do you bless the Lord by your worship in everything that you do? I'd like to ask finally this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, by raise of hand, if you could say this: I want to have the understanding and zeal to worship God as He would have us to worship Him in spirit and truth. I want this to be the truth, a truth in my life. I want to worship Him as He would have us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I want that to be my testimony. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this opportunity to present these truths from Your Word. I pray that nothing I have said could have taken away from that, the accuracy of this passage here. I pray, Father, that You would just stir our hearts, that there would be an excitement about worship in every aspect of this service, Father, that You'd be honored and glorified. I pray, Father, that as we glorify You and as we worship You and as we lift up Your name, that You would give something to us, that You would give us the joy that You have promised to us as we worship You as we should. Father, may Your truth just do a work in our lives. And may we be changed this morning by the power of Your Word. In Your name we pray. Amen. This morning, as they're just playing through this, if that's not the truth of your life, say, so often I've come for the wrong purpose. I become merely as a thing of habit or responsibility. And I want to get that right with God. I want to come for the right reason. I want to make that decision known before God. Take care of that this morning. I'm going to give you an opportunity just to come forward, just as they're playing through this one stanza.